Well, hello, everybody. My name is David Robertson, and today is June 7th, 2011. I'm talking with Amy Burks. She is the Adaptive Technology Coordinator at Middle Tennessee State University, and she helps the disabled population here with technological literacy issues and integration to help their life operate at a much, much higher quality. In fact, she was really helpful to me during my master's work, and Amy, I want to thank you so much for being really profoundly impactful on my own life, so thank you.
Thank you, David.
So thank you for letting me talk to you today. And can you just tell us a little bit about some of the job responsibilities that you have here at MTSU?
Well, my first job requirement is to take care of the lab, the ATC. It's the Adaptive Technology Center. We're located in the library, 174, and it's to keep the lab running smoothly, the equipment operating, staff at students' disposals. To make sure students, if they need assistance, you know, navigating D2L or Pipeline, or a teacher tells you to grab a syllabus off their website, we're here for those reasons. We also do Braille. We'll do audio textbooks. So we cut and scan our books. We'll check out equipment. So if a student has never used a PacMate and they want to check out a PacMate and try to take their own notes in class, or if a student's doing remote captioning and they don't have a laptop, we can check out a laptop, we can check out some internet access, a lot of different options. You know, first and foremost, to keep the lab running and to keep students where they need to be. Like if they need help networking with some administrators or faculty, take care of the box first. The lab is what we call the box.
Okay.
We don't have any windows. And to make sure that we take care of this environment first. And then it trickles down from there because people become curious across campus. You know, you get a student that's in a research class that's using SPSS, and everyone has a laptop or a computer in front of them, and they follow a model after their instructor. Well, a low vision student is going to need Zoom text to be able to navigate that computer. So I'll go out and do custom installs across campus to make sure students are not at a disadvantage in that class, like JAWS or Zoom Text, even Kurzweil, if it's a reading-writing class. I'm working very hard with ITD. It's our Instructional Technology Division. They're working on a Citrix project and ghosting and different images to try to get our three main apps, to me, would be JAWS, the screen reader for someone who's blind, Zoom Text or Magic, someone with low vision, and then Kurzweil for a text-to-speech option for someone with learning disability, traumatic brain injury. Everyone can benefit from Kurzweil.
Okay.
Working really hard with those guys to try to make sure those three apps get on every computer on campus. And that way a student doesn't have to call or make a request. Faculty member doesn't have to second guess, is the student getting the material appropriately? It'll be there. Now, on the flip side, when a student comes in, if they're not familiar with those products, I don't train them. I will orientate them to the product, and then I will direct them back to, say, vocational rehabilitation if they need formal training. If they're not a techie and they're maybe struggling, to send them for formal training, and then the staff and me will help them to our best ability to learn. But at the college level, it would be like not coming to work without your glasses.
That's it.
You know, like at the college level, you're not under the IEP, and you're not, we're obligated to give you equal access, but not train you and give you access. So a little bit of confusion in that area. But I get involved with ITD, and of course, you know, they do a lot of faculty awareness as well, like with the ITC, Barbara Droud's team that you had worked with some before. I am excited. We're doing showcases, and we're doing follow-ups, and we're raising awareness. New education building is coming online fall 2011. We designed two ADA lab/classrooms. Modeled after this room and the Thunder Room in the Honors College, wrote a TAF proposal for $200,000, and it's going to have everything that you see in this room and then some, because this is going to target future educators This is going to be a K through 12 environment. And the more teachers we can get comfortable with technology, the more that they're aware of screen reader, screen magnifier, text to speech, the better prepared a student will come to me later in life when they're ready for college.
Right.
I'm very, very excited because they're going to be able to produce tactiles and braille, and they're going to be able to cut and scan books. We've got iPads, we've got Galaxy tablets, we've got mind reading technology. We've got downloadable apps, you know, I mean, just very, very excited. And that should be up and running by fall 2011, so this coming fall.
That is great. Wow,
yeah.
a lot of wonderful things coming. Well, how is the Adaptive Technology Center positively impacting students with disabilities? And, you know, you'd mentioned visual, and that's my disability, I'm visually impaired. And what kinds of students and what kinds of disabilities do you have, and what does the
we have a large array at MTSU, and it's because we're located in the center of the state. My supervisor John Harris, he is blind, and he is a graduate of Tennessee School for the Blind, so he recruits, so we get a lot of guys with canes and braille readers. You know, we've got the School for the Deaf over in Knoxville. The deaf population is starting to really migrate. Used to, they would go to specialties, specialty schools or other colleges. I think this coming fall, we're going to have 12, I think, students who are hard of hearing or deaf. I know of two that is going to be using remote captioning, like Typewell, C-Print, or CART. And then the others will be sign language. Which we work with Bridges out of Nashville. It used to be League for the Deaf. Now they've changed their name. They used to be Hearing Bridges, and now they're just Bridges. So we get a lot of folks from there. Wheelchairs, we got a lot of wheelchairs on campus, and it's because we're flat. And, you know, MTSU, in the past, we were a blue-collar commuter school. The school's working very hard to become more research-based, and especially now that we're the largest undergraduate school in Tennessee, there's a big competition between the UT system and TBR system, which we're TBR. Tennessee, University of Tennessee Knoxville is UT system. So we're drawing a lot of folks. Reasonable tuition, friendly environment. Our students with disabilities are part of that package. Flat campus, middle of the state, a great director that has many colleagues, great reputation, very involved, very
yes.
active individual.
Right.
So with the center here, we are a little different. You know, like we cut up, we have a good time, we try to be friends, and we work as a team. And my staff, they all know currently we have 11 student workers on staff. One is a temp, well, 11 employees. One temp hourly, one GA, half-time GA, and the others are student workers. You know, they have been taught when people come in, hey, how you doing today? You need anything? What can I help you with? Students, when they first come, they worry about the stigma of I'm an individual with a disability. You know, they're maybe coming from a special ed environment where they've been petted, or, you know, they've had the enabling parents and so forth. So, you know, they come in, we get to know them. And I throw it out there, you're here on the same academic standards as any other student. And I have the same expectations. And everyone has a little bit of a different learning curve. We all have different study habits. But here's some recommendations. Take it with a grain of salt. And it's just a place they can come and ask questions, explore equipment, use somebody's eyes, use somebody's hands, and there is no repercussions. There is no judgment. We're just here, poor college students, trying to make ourselves better for a bigger and better world. So I think the center is a, I don't want to say a safe place or a special place, because that falls into the special ed trend, but we're a collaborative center that is here to help anyone who's struggling, that needs some assistance, needs some support, needs some technology skills. We're here to help. And I think a lot of students find comfort in that. You know, a lot of the younger students who are techie with higher demands like to come in and see, what have you been doing? Am I behind? Am I ahead? Mm-hmm. A lot of the older students that's maybe lost their vision later in life or had a car accident that resulted in a disability, they find comfort in, I have somewhere I can go and ask questions without looking stupid, or without, I've been out of school for 20 years. I don't know what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just an open door, friendly open door environment. And I think students have responded well. I keep statistics, and I can't remember this last report I ran, average of how many students we have coming in a day. It's not hundreds or thousands of students. You know, I'm wanting to say it was like 98. I'd have to go back and check. I know there was a period there where we had about 30 students per day.
Okay.
But you got to keep in mind, a student with, say, a traumatic brain injury, they may be in here for hours. You know, or a student who has a visual impairment that's writing on a paper, they may use us as their eyes when they get stuck, or when they're pondering an idea or trying to access a file, they may be in here for hours.
Right.
So we're growing, and there's some days we've outgrown our box, service animals. We've got, I know of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or 7 dogs, and sometimes we'll have 2 dogs in the lab at a time, and I have tethers, you know, because dogs are dogs, sometimes they act out, as well as I want them in a safe place in case somebody comes in and can't see the dog or is not aware. Just more and more, you know, now with the video relay phone. You know, the students who are deaf are coming in, calling on their families, calling their instructors. So we've got a wide array.
Yes.
And I think students are happy we're here. I do.
Yes. Wow. That's tremendous, tremendous. And let me ask you another question. What kinds of adaptive technology does the campus employ to help disabled students? And I know in conversation you mentioned many.
Our main campus-wide would be, like I said, working with the ITD, Information Technology Division. When I think of technology, there's software and there's hardware. Software main focus would be JAWS. JAWS is the leading vendor, in my opinion, made by Freedom Scientific. It stands for Job Access with Speech. It is a screen reader for someone who is blind. That is a main app that I want on every computer.
Okay.
So a student who's blind, they've got their little earbuds or their headphones, whatever their preference is, they plug in Control-Alt-J and go like any other student. Another thing would be Zoom Text or Magic. Zoom Text is made by AI Squared. Magic's made by Freedom Scientific, the maker of JAWS. Those are screen magnifiers, and I always do Level 2 because Level 2 has a reader behind it. So for a student with low vision, they put their mouse on that icon, they've enlarged the screen 4 or 5x, they can see the rough layout or color of the icon, but it will enunciate behind it Microsoft Word, whatever has been defined for that icon. That's another application that should be on every computer. Kurzweil is our main text-to-speech application. Kurzweil can be used by everyone. Now, there is 2 different versions. Kurzweil 3000 would be a GUI colored, big buttons, LD low vision. Kurzweil 1000 is for someone who is blind. It's all keyboard driven, text based. 9 times out of 10, someone who is blind is going to use text files. They're going to use JAWS, open whatever they need, a PowerPoint. You can save as a rich text outline. A PDF now with Adobe 10, you can OCR and resave and tag your own PDF. So we're hitting those 3 applications all over campus. I want them everywhere.
Yes. Okay.
Hardware, you know, we've got 10 machines in here, 9 PCs and an iMac. The iMac's coming, not quite here, but it'll be here. I've got 8 computers. that I call our universal design. Universal design means can be utilized by everyone. So they're going to have a standard mouse, trackball mouse, a keyboard with enlarged fonts, like a yellow on, or black on yellow, or like the ZoomText keyboards. These are keys you see. I order them from a web company called CyberGuys. They're going to have a special keyboard. They're going to have the special mouse. We put a CCTV. We're using the enhanced vision computer interface so they can split screen with the 22-inch and with their XY table. All of that plus all the software. Magic, ZoomText, JAWS, Kurzweil 1000, Kurzweil 3000, loaded to the gill. I've got 8 of those machines in the public part of the library, and then I'm going to have one machine in a study room so that a student with a disability has preference to that study room. I've got 2 machines in our 24/7 lab. I've got 3 machines in the LRC. I've got 3 machines in the KOM, 1 in the computer science area and 2 in the math area. So, and each of those labs are kind of diagonal across our campus. So if they need a CCTV, they need a trackball mouse, they have options where they would like to go. And then with the software components on every computer, they can hit any computer. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things, you know, in checking out equipment, we'll check out portable CCTVs, we'll check out PacMates, we'll check out digital FM systems. We're kind of unique in the fact that we do that. Not many universities do that. And also check out software. So if a student comes to me with their personal laptop and they need a copy of Kurzweil to access the books, I can do what's called a license to go and give them up to a year. I can give it and I can take it. So if they leave the university, we don't lose our license, but that student can go home and be comfortable and work on their assignments.
That's terrific. I didn't know that.
So we're trying very hard to touch everywhere and anywhere.
Well, tell me, what are some obstacles that you've encountered when trying to integrate adaptive technology here on campus?
I could really get off on this one, especially since we just did some major upgrades on Kurzweil and TextHelp Read and Write Gold as another application. Some of the obstacles would be just each lab has their own director.
Okay.
Each director does their environment a little different. You know, I'm still running XP, but it's a very stable operating system. We've got all the drivers, all the components we need. I'm experimenting with going to Windows 7. The library building IT guys are wanting to go to Windows 7. Well, Windows 7, a few obstacles I've hit is things not playing nicely or missing a driver, because everyone has security. When you reboot, everything goes away that you just did and it goes back to standard. Or they may download a free app that interferes. It competes for the video of ZoomText. You know, video's needing that video driver. It needs a good video driver, a good video card. You know, like with campus going to a Citrix environment, Citrix meaning there's going to be a server, a Citrix server, that's housing images that, depending on a student's login and permissions, it's kind of like it will remote desktop a desktop image. It's not really on that machine.
Okay.
It's getting back to the old Telnet days, or to where, you know, a monitor and a keyboard was just a way to access another system.
Like a dumb terminal.
Yes, a dumb terminal, exactly. That's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little scary because, you know, JAWS and ZoomText takes a video card, high video resolution, to be able to move the screen and keep things from being pixelized. JAWS needs audio. A lot of thin clients, you have a picture, but you don't necessarily have stereo audio. So, obstacles right now is technology is changing so fast and people get excited and they want to try it and they want to put it out there, but we have to remember we have to remain ADA compliant.
Okay.
We have to make sure that this pool of students does not get left behind or excluded. And it can be frustrating for some guys. They see it as you're holding progress back. And no, you're moving with progress, including everyone.
Right.
You know, if anything, I think that's more forward thinking than what's been in the past. So obstacles are, there's a lot of different labs, a lot of different directors, a lot of different technology. And our students, when I say our students, my students, you know, our students with disabilities, they need to be thought of up front. And we need to make sure that they get the same opportunity, the same experience. They get to try graphic design. They get to try computer programming. And they either succeed or fail just like any other student. Not because they were placed in a disadvantaged technological environment.
Right.
That's a big obstacle.
Wow. Well, do you have any technology integration success stories?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, MTSU is, the cool thing is I was a student worker long ago in the, what was called ITD back then. And my roots go deep. You know, as I've aged, I do bleed blue, whether I want to admit it or not. But building relationships with people. You know, the library, and specifically, I worked for them as a temporary hourly employee or an 80% staff person. And when the old building that's now the Arts Building moved to the new building, the James E. Walker Library that we're in, I was that technician that worked nights and weekends that migrated systems over. And the head systems librarian and the head technician are still here. So I have a previous experience with them, a level of respect that when I say I need something, they take it very serious. And on the flip side, they'll come down and say, hey, we're building a new image and we want to make sure your apps get on there and are working properly. And that's a huge success. You know, the way the center came about was Donald Craig, when the building was being designed and we had got the funding for it, he and several other folks toured other universities' libraries. One library that they went to was the University of Memphis. And at the University of Memphis, they had just opened this grand library. And in front of it was a party of individuals, or students with disabilities, that was protesting the building because they had not thought of, I'm not sure if it was technology or building codes or whatever, but there were some issues. So Mr. Craig came back, or Dean Craig, and made sure that the MTSU library was ADA compliant and that students had equal access. And this space was a larger space than they anticipated, and it became an adaptive technology center. A GA was hired to work in the ITD and work with disabled students and the library. And that was the start of the center. And then my supervisor wrote a vocational rehabilitation grant and started hiring staff. And when I started 10 years ago, it was August 2002, I was on grant money. And the university here saw how important what we were doing as a department and how the students were utilizing this equipment, and they put me on hard money. You know, I'm a full-time staff member, and I feel very secure in hard economic times when other people don't have job security. I feel like my campus has given me that because of what we do and our students' needs. That's a huge success.
Yes, it is.
You know, and with the College of Education, the new building coming online, the fact that they took this space and asked, you know, we want one of these, and we want future educators to be better prepared so that students in school have a better opportunity of being college bound. That's a huge, you know, like inclusion. You know, a lot of people talk about inclusion in a K-12 environment. And I think there's been just tons of progress, but transition transitioning from the K through 12 to the college is still weak, because students are coming out of a K through 12 environment still thinking, I'm not sure I can. And they shouldn't even have to think about that. They should be thinking, yes, I can, just like anyone else. College may or may not be for me. And that's okay. So I think MTSU is, we're on the ball. Mm-hmm. And I think there's huge success. Huge.
Well, Amy, I think that your passion and advocacy for, you know, the students here have helped to, you know, pave the way to a lot of the thinking, you know, new buildings and things like that. So, well, last question, anything on the horizon that excites you? You know, one or two things?
Well, I am very, very excited about bringing in what's called a BookEye. And a BookEye scanner, the new technology now. You know, back in the day, you had to take that book and pretty much break a spine, pushing it down on a flat scanner. And your image all the time was so curved that Kurzweil read, you know, this line and jumped to the next line. I just recently saw a video, and if you go out and you Google this, it's called a flip scanner. And it's really a low form of artificial intelligence with LED lights and a high shutter camera. And literally they took the book and they just flipped the pages. Okay? Like, it took them 1.7 seconds or something to flip through that book. And the software took that book and it was working real fast, moving things around, and OCR'd it. I mean, you literally just flip the pages. And, you know, now with all the smartphones, you can actually sit down with a smartphone and click, 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 multi-page PDF. You load that into Google Docs. Google Docs will OCR it and read it back to you. You know, it's crazy. So I'm very excited about scanning technology. I'm excited that this new scanner coming in, we're going to start transitioning away from Kurzweil files more to PDF files, because it's universal files. They're small. They can be accessed by numerous devices. And then educate students on how to take advantage of these other software applications and teach them how to OCR and put their materials in whatever format they desire. That's encouraging. You know, like the library building with the new databases, they are actually now offering audio files of articles or text or PDF files. So, you know, they're pulling printed books off the shelves, which I hate to see a tradition leave. But I like that everyone can access it.
Right.
And that's what it's all about.
That's great. Oh, well, Amy, you are so good at what you do.
And thank you.
Thank you for not only just taking time to let me interview you for this class, but really for what you're doing for MTSU and the larger population, just the cause of you know, disabled students having access. And I remember I came in your office when I started my master's, and after 25 years coming back to school.
Now, our traditional coming back in.
You know, trying to find my place and do I have what it takes to succeed here, and I can't see very well. And you changed my whole way of thinking that this disability really was an ability. You know, I've never forgot you saying that to me.
Well, and I did my job.
Well,
and you did yours.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
Well, thank you so much for taking time for us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.